Now, good intentions do not pay distributions. Execution does. Now, many operators say they care about that resident experience, but they don't measure the right things to prove it or to translate that care into renewals, reputation, and of course, most importantly, revenue. Now, in today's episode, we will uncover the five KPIs or key performance indicators that we track to connect that resident experience to dollars, the targets we aim for, as well as the quick levers we utilize to improve each metric. So glad to be here today, Mark. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing great, John. And, you know, tracking metrics, like this is a big one.
Yep.
Tracking KPIs, and, you know, you can call it OKRs, you can call it KPIs, you can call it metrics, whatever you want to call it. But the key here is like getting very clear on what is important, what's actually going to drive overall success. And so yeah. Today's going to be a really good conversation on some of the key numbers that we track to ensure that our multifamily properties are performing, that our investors are getting really good returns. And we're on track to be able to get there. Like, what is the canary in the deal, right? Like, you want to know, are you on track, you off track from hitting your numbers? And then what are some of the smaller KPIs to drive the larger numbers as well? And so it'll be a good conversation today, John. Looking forward to having it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as they say, right, what gets measured gets done, right? And so, you know, it's interesting when you think about client experience or customer service, right? It may be even a bit challenging to even think about, like, what would we measure there? Now, certainly things like reviews received or surveys that came back with a positive, you know, whether it's NPS or whatever measurement tool you're using to gauge that client experience, certainly those make sense. But I think this is going to be a really fun conversation. There might be some that maybe you haven't thought about as a listener to this, some ways that you can measure that success. Yeah. So we've identified five here, right? So I think number one, and this one probably sounds a little obvious as well, but it's renewal rate, right? And then adding to that, that renewal trade up percentage, right? So when that renewal occurs, right? So we're tracking the percentage of renewals, but also the rent growth we're able to achieve with each renewal. Because ultimately, if we're providing an exceptional experience, the resident's going to be one, happy to renew, but even happier to pay just a little bit more to continue that exceptional experience they've been having so far. So, you know, for us, it's a process that starts very early. So, you know, on a monthly basis, we're looking at a rent roll and we're looking like 6 months ahead. Now, in terms of hygiene in our rent roll, we're also looking at things like people who are late on payment or, for example, lease violations, right? But for the purposes of this conversation, what we're looking at is, when are these renewals coming? And what we've learned is the earlier you start having that conversation, the better. So what you don't want to do is wait for 2 or 3 weeks before renewal to send a letter saying, oh, you know, here's your sheet, sign it if you want to renew them. Oh, by the way, your rate's going up. So it's a very high touch, early is better kind of approach, where we don't just send an email or a letter. We actually invite the resident into the office or stop by their unit, have a conversation face to face. So that's number one. But looking at that and then tracking the percentage of expiring leases that renew and the average rent change that occurs at that renewal, right? So that's at the top. Mm. Now, as we kind of roll back, right, you know, retention is all about trust, right? If a resident's having a great experience, they're more likely to renew, bottom line. So every time we have a renewal, we're avoiding vacancy, which is actually a cost to the property, right? Which we're going to dive into. We're actually going to get into the math later in the episode on what that really looks like when you have a unit sitting vacant, even just for a week or two, right? It's a real impact on the bottom line. When you factor in things like marketing, turn costs, and make ready costs. So internally, our target now, this is important here because what we do at Ferris Capital Partners, Mark, as you know, of course, is we're value add. So we're renovating units along the way. So when we're in that value add process, that first 2 or 3 years where we're still improving the asset through targeted unit renovations, we look for a renewal rate of 65 to 75% plus. That may seem low, but that goes back to, we have to open up units to renovate. And our goal is generally to do 3 to 5 renovations a month. And so there's a variety of ways we identify those units. First and foremost, looking for residents that are maybe detracting from the community. So as I mentioned before, things like lease violations or, you know, maybe a resident that's always behind on their rent or causing disruption to the operations of the building. Maybe they're just rude to the maintenance team or they're rude to the leasing center employees. So we can make those decisions in the states we invest in just to non-renew based on not the right fit for the community. Once we have completed our renovation plan, that metric actually looks like 85% plus. So we're looking to, you know, keep 85% plus of those residents renewing and happy in their unit. So that number shifts a little bit as we stabilize the property.
Yeah. And with every, say, we'll just say any resident that moves out, it costs us about $1,500 to $3,000 to turn that property over. So we get to save that with higher renewals. Now, in the states that we buy in, there's no sort of rent control. So on the renewals, we can actually increase higher than, say, you know, 1, 2 or 3% in Ontario, for example. In Canada, it's 2.5% rent control. So you can't raise it higher than that. Well, with renewals in Ontario, when it has that rent control, renewals are not ideal. Like you actually, you want a little bit of vacancy so you can go in, renovate, and you can increase rents. Well, in many cases for us, we're actually getting our renovated rents without actually even renovating it because there's such demand for the property. And so renewals are actually, it's a really good thing. And this is why we spend so much time building culture and making sure that, you know, our any sort of maintenance requests are fixed very quickly and that we're providing a really good, we'll say, environment for people to live in, a great community, to be able to mitigate that $1,500 to $3,000 turn costs. And then to also not have to actually, in some cases, even spend the dollars to renovate the units as well. So yeah, I mean, 85%, John, once it's fully stabilized, that is our goal. And we are having these conversations 60 to 90 days out from the expiry of their lease. So John, you had mentioned it. It's like, you're looking 6 months to 12 months out to see what's coming down the pipe. But a big question that I get with a lot of investors is, well, how do you actually flip the building over? How do you increase the units while it's fully occupied? And right. And so this renewal rate and how we go about it and then how we increase it, that's why that second number, the trade-up percentage number, is so important. So if you're getting renewals but you're not getting the increase, that's not ideal. But in many cases, John, we're actually getting, you know, 10% plus on these renewal increases to be able to push it without having any out-of-pocket dollars. And for every time you do a renewal, there's no sort of in-between costs. As you mentioned, it's the cost of the property. If it takes a month where it's vacant, you lose that 1 month of rent. So that's where that's it's right. really important to keep that renewal rate high.
That's right. You lose the 1 month rent plus those turn costs and marketing that's costs right. you mentioned, right? So it's like a double whammy, really. So the levers we pull on is that 60 to 90 day renewal outreach. Now, we also do condition audits, right? So we have the ability in our lease to go in and just monitor. Now, part of it is preventative maintenance, replacing filters. But here's a great example. So in a lot of buildings we buy, you know, it's an existing building and the resident may be a legacy resident from the prior ownership group. And so maybe we walk in and we realize, you know what, like this unit doesn't have any ceiling fans and it's in Florida. So sometimes what we can do is say, hey, look, if you renew early, we'd be happy to install some ceiling fans for you. So offer a small little incentive, costs us a couple $100, but we're getting a 6 or 7% rental increase on top of that. So the math works really well. But it's that idea of just showing a little bit of appreciation to the resident, saying, hey, yes, you're renewing, but we can make your unit a little more livable. Another thing that actually works really well, Mark, that we didn't mention is that, you know, a resident in a classic unit, we can also offer a, you know, without breaking their lease, right, the ability to transition into a renovated unit at that higher rent, which in turn opens up a unit for renovation. So going back to that investor question, that's another methodology we utilize. Our Georgetown property is a great example where a few residents have already expressed interest in those renovated units so they can trade up to a higher quality unit but stay in the same community. But just layering in touch points, right? Like, for example, when we hire PMs, we hire the kind of people that when they see a resident in the parking lot, it's just in their nature to stop and say hello and ask them how their day's going and you know what's happening and learning their names, right? And so all those things add up to this renewal rate. The next piece is actually something that's so important. We built a guarantee around it, which is the work order completion, right? So when there's maintenance items, so making sure we're timely responding to those requests, making it easy for residents to put those requests in, whether it's coming by the office or going onto an online portal and completing a form, requesting that repair to be made. And then from that, ensuring that it happens, our goal is minimum 48 hours unless a part needs to be ordered. But we really target less than 24 hours, like same day if possible, right? Especially if it's something simple like a clogged sink or, you know, a leaky faucet or something like that. We could just attack that day one. But that is such an important part of the resident experience. In fact, all the surveys you can find will tell you the number one reason somebody leaves an apartment is because of poor maintenance requests, you know, just handled slowly. Or, you know, you've given that example, right, of your barber who moved out because they just, after 9 years, they just wouldn't fix his toilet. And he just got so frustrated and annoyed that he just said, you know, enough's enough. So it's fast, but it's also quality, which helps to reduce that churn, as well as bad debt risk, because the highest probability somebody's going to stop paying you rent is when they're mad at you because their HVAC is not working in the summertime for 2 weeks or something like that, right? So we acknowledge these repairs within a few hours of receiving it and then have that 48-hour guarantee, often delivering that. And then what we measure, of course, is did we honor that? Did we complete that? And if we miss that guarantee, we actually have to pay them $50, like a $50 Visa gift card. So it's something that's just baked into the culture. We do things quickly, speed of execution being one of our core values.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So response time and completion time of that actual fix. And so some of the levers there we have to ensure that we're on top of this, because it's easy for something to slip through the cracks there. So maintenance requests, huddle. So this is something that having daily huddles on an ongoing basis is a big part of that. Parts pre-stock as well. So making sure that we have some of the parts available that we can actually do that. That is one of the asterisks. If there's some sort of larger part that needs to be ordered, it's like that is something that we let the resident know, like we're on it, we've ordered it. But, you know, we do everything in our power to make sure that it is fixed that we have in our control there as well. And then the first visit, fixing it on the first time. Like, John, this is a big one. It's like having to come back multiple times because you didn't fix it the first time is something that right. We really want to mitigate. So
that's right.
You know, and then just text updates and then ongoing training is a big part of how we're able to get ahead of this.
Yeah. And this is actually going to speak to what we just talked on, but also segue nicely into the next thing we'll mention. But what we've actually trained our property management team to do is when the maintenance has, you know, kind of signaled that the work has been completed, they actually leave behind a card in the residence unit with, you know, kind of a asking for a review. Like, if you've liked our service, please review us. So we link to Google. It's funny, I actually just made this suggestion a few months ago, but, you know, maybe leaving a couple pieces of candy, some nice chocolate or something like that. You know, just a, you know, just a little small thing. We've been in your unit. We know it's been a disruption, but it's a small gesture. But that helps us generate reviews, which is the KPI number 3, that online reputation score. That's something we look at all the time. In fact, myself, Mark, and our asset manager get those reviews straight in from Google. So second somebody posts it, we're seeing it. And we've been very fortunate. We've been doing a good job. We get a lot of 5 stars. But on the rare occasion, we have seen a couple that are maybe, you know, a 2 or 3 star, right? Or a 1 star. It's like we attack that problem. So the property manager knows we're seeing it, and their bosses are seeing it. And so their action is to step in and do whatever they can to fix and solve that problem. And we never ask for a re-review, but the goal is for them to do such a wow job, you know, in terms of the experience they provide, helping them overcome whatever created that initial issue that resulted in that bad review, that the resident is motivated to go back and say, you know what, I'm actually going to change my opinion here because they did a great job. So, you know, at the end of the day, higher ratings, it's like that first impression, right? So the general way that people find us is they go into Google and they type apartments for rents and say Monk's Corner, South Carolina, or apartments for rent in Goose Creek, South Carolina. And we get traffic reports. So we know that's how people are finding us. It kind of starts generic. Now you might get some drive-by traffic or somebody who sees the asset and types that name in. But what are they going to look at first, right? It's going to be the Google reviews. And then second, they're going to look at the photos. So making sure that we have a target of over 4.4 stars for all of our assets with a goal of adding at least 10 to 20 fresh reviews every quarter. So it's not only the cards we leave after a maintenance request. We send surveys throughout the process from the time they first visit to signing their lease to post move-in, 6-month check-in. And so when people give us a good survey, they're directed to the review platform to post that review. And then in our leasing centers, we have, you know, posters and flyers just, you know, asking for those reviews. So it is definitely something we put a lot of time and attention into. So for example, when we have an event, you know, resident appreciation event or a holiday gathering, you know, we have QR codes with reviews. That closed loop follow-up I mentioned, where after the maintenance is complete, the property manager circles back just to make sure everything was handled to their satisfaction and there weren't any dangling, you know, threads or whatever that, you know, yeah, they kind of did it, but, you know, maybe, for example, there was a leak in a unit above and we, you know, solved the leak, but the unit below has a water stain. Like, we need to paint that and fix that, and make that right for that resident below. So really closing the loop to ensure all impacted residents are happy. And then we always ask for that review after a win, right? So it's a big part of what we do. And it really helps drive better leasing activity, better prospects into the building, and a higher likelihood of conversion when those residents come through the front door.
Next up is delinquency rate. So we want to keep this under 2%. So here's how it can get really, really important, and for you to really understand that for every 1% in delinquency, so delinquency is a percentage of who's not actually paying the rent. Okay. So if there's $1 million of incoming rent coming into a building, and let's just say there's a 1% delinquency of, say, residents not paying the rent, well, that works out to about $10,000 in net operating income. And the way that it works, for every $10,000 of net operating income out of five cap, that works, that actually works out to about $240,000 approximately is what it works out to.
Yeah.
And so that is significant from a valuation standpoint. So we want to make sure to keep the delinquency, well, close to zero. We want to keep it under 2%. And anytime it gets larger than that, that really impacts your bottom line and what the actual value of the building is.
Yeah. And it's something that is somewhat inevitable, right? Life happens, you know, maybe it's a dual income family and one of the spouses loses their job. So, you know, for us, you know, when we see somebody's behind, right? Like the day after rent's due, if they're not making rent, the payment wasn't made, we're proactively touching base, multiple touch points, phone calls, email, and, you know, knocking on their door. And so let's say it is a temporary thing, right? We do work with the resident and try to create a payment plan. So in that, we also track our payment plan sort of completion, right? So we do target at least 95%. Now, you know, you might say, well, I'm not 100. Well, life's not perfect. So inevitably, you know, a payment plan might fail. Now, this is partly baked into what we do as one of our values, that genuine love of people, right? We don't want to be just putting people out on the street that are experiencing a temporary blip in their life that they'll get back on track, right? So if they're communicative and they're saying, look, my, you know, my wife lost her job, she's actually actively interviewing, we should be able to get back on track, we're going to work with you. But there is another factor, Mark, and this is something we've been seeing more and more of really post-pandemic, but even in these landlord-friendly states, you know, the judges are ultimately making the decision on that eviction, right? And so they're wanting to see that a payment plan was at least attempted, right? And so it's just good business. It's part of that love of people, but it's also a consideration with when we do go to the courts, when it reaches that point where we do have to do an eviction, we are more likely to get that eviction approved if we show the judge that, hey, look, we tried to work with the person. We offered this payment plan, but they failed on it the first day out, right? And so that is part of it, but really it comes from that genuine love of people. So, you know, some of the levers for rent payments, right? Early reminders, you know, we built out scripting for our property management team. So when they're having these tough conversations, they can navigate it with empathy, but also with results orientation in mind. You know, clear milestones for these payment plans. They can't go on forever, right? I mean, you got to get caught up and back on track, right? And then just check-ins along the way. And so, you know, it's just part of the process that we built out and the frameworks we built out. And we do partner with an exceptional nationwide third-party property management company, Asset Living. They have tools at their disposal that help with this as well. But it's definitely something that's very top of mind for us. So not only are we tracking the delinquency rate and keeping that as low as possible, but making sure when we do offer payment plans that they're successful at least 95% of the time or higher. Now, this one is actually huge, right? So this is the you know, and we've sort of touched on this topic before, and we're going to get into the math a little bit here now, but are days vacant, like how fast can we turn these properties and get them back and ready? So the first thing you do is kind of the make ready. So let's just say it's a renovated unit. but the resident's been in there for a year. We might have to do some light painting, perhaps even full painting, depending. You know, I mean, it is what it is, but we've seen some units where the kids use the wall in the living room as like, you know, a coloring book, right? And you have to deal with that. Now, we do get a security deposit, and for damage that is excessive, we can capture that security deposit to help compensate for that damage done. But just sometimes it's just life, right? The hardwood floors or the LTV flooring have some issues, or the carpet has some issues, some staining. So we have to replace that. So we want to make sure we can do that as quickly as possible with the highest quality work, so we can get that unit released as quickly as possible. So kind of that days from move out to rent ready is one of the metrics. And then that economic occupancy versus physical occupancy. Now, if you're newer to investing, what does that mean, right? So physical occupancy is like who's literally in the building. Economic occupancy is based on who's actually paying their rent, right? And so, you know, we also look at another form of occupancy, which is sort of like signed leases, right? So it's like we know people are moving in, they're just not moved in yet. We have signed committed leases. So we want to make sure all that's adjusted for concessions and delinquency. So we're presenting real numbers. But why does this matter, right? This vacancy turn. So each day vacant burns revenue, bottom line, right? So let's just say it's a $1,500 rent that we're able to collect for this particular deal. We're talking about $50 a day, just based on, you know, dividing that $1,500 by 30, 31 days, right? So there's that component, but then there's also that make ready cost, right? So that kind of ties back to why renewals are so important. If we can keep people in longer, we can avoid that economic vacancy, and we can also avoid those turn costs. But faster turns when we do have a vacancy equals stronger economic occupancy and faster cash recovery. So making sure our turn times are at best less than 7 to 10 days, and our economic occupancy remains at 95% or higher.
This fast math here, John, that we worked out here. So yeah. If you avoid one turn via a renewal, so you save $2,000, and let's just say you also avoid 10 vacant days as well. That's $500 at $1,500 rent. Plus you cut delinquency by 1% on a 200 unit building at $1,500 average rent. That works out to $36,000 net operating income per year, or $720,000 in value. Okay. Yeah. If you do these things. So the reality is, if you just avoid one turn and you cut delinquency, if you do those two things, you could see you've added a whole lot of value to the building. And so it's why it's so important to actually cut and to cut these numbers down. Plus, if you want to reduce turn time by 5 days across 20 moves in a year, your recapture's $5,000 in gross rent. So that also adds to your bottom line as well. So you could see how these numbers start to really add up when you work them out, you track them on an ongoing basis, and then you have a systemized approach to drive them lower, or in your favor, we'll call it, to be able to make the building's more valuable.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the big key factors here, it's these numbers are great, but you got to track them, right? So having a weekly meeting with our property management team, and then even internally, we have an asset management meeting where we're reviewing these numbers, you know, making sure we're responding to those maintenance requests in that timely fashion. That's another thing that we're reviewing on a weekly and monthly basis. And then, you know, just those resident wins, right? Making sure we have programs in place and policies, and that we're sharing those stories, you know, across all of our communities, right? So that's another cool factor, because all of our deals are with this one third-party property management company. Those property managers all come together, and so they can share best practices and stories in ways that they've been able to positively influence some of these metrics through, you know, small gestures or, you know, just different kind of ways to touch residents to make sure they're having the best possible experience. So, you know, once again, just some key insights here, you know, tracking that renewal, making sure you're minimizing your delinquency and turn time. That's the clearest path towards an exceptional resident experience, which will help grow that NOI, which is what is, you know, it's all about, right? The higher our NOI, the more the value we've created for our investors. We should be setting targets, defining what the levers are that the property manager can pull on. And we're reviewing those weekly, right? And recognizing that small wins compound into big returns over time. And then just, you know, making sure we're hiring highly caring people, we're measuring everything well, and we have an operating system that, you know, supports durable cash flow and value growth.
Right on. Well, if you like what you heard and you want to find out a little bit more about how do you can invest with us, go to fulloutinvesting.com and you'll see a sample deal on there as well as a little bit more about how we run our deals, our overall approach, and how you can actually get straight 20% annual returns with us, doubling funds in 5 years. And we do have an A-class share as well that pays 12% current distributions in a priority position as well. So make sure to reach out, book a one-on-one call with either John or myself and find out a little bit more on how you can invest with us. Thanks for listening, guys. If you enjoyed the show, you can go ahead and subscribe to the channel or share it with another high net worth investor you think will benefit from it. Thanks for tuning in to the Full Out Real Estate Investor. We love and believe in you guys. Keep dreaming and investing big.